Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff Zrebeck tweeting this out. Ravens are planning to release wide receiver Anthony Miller.
Okay.
Sources say.
He wasn't bad, Bob. I mean, he had quickness and stuff.
Wouldn't surprise Jeff to see the Ravens try to re-sign him to the practice squad. Hey, look, he made some noise the brief time that he was here.
Yeah, he showed up. He definitely showed up. And if you've got him on the practice squad, maybe then they're only going to keep five. I don't know. You got a vet that's ready. You know, he's practicing with you and stuff. Not a bad move.
Pepe Williams, who was a fourth round pick back in 2022 out of Houston, he's not going to make the team. But if you look at that particular draft class, Hamilton and Linderbaum are all pros. First two picks, hoping that David Ajabo becomes a presence this year. Same with Travis Jones.
Oh, yeah.
And Daniel Falele, Vinny, love him or hate him, going to be starting this year, right?
No doubt. I mean, is he what you want? No, but he is starting right guard in the National Football League. So that's a hell of a draft.
Armour Davis is part of that crew, and he's going to be
that's a key piece. That's an awesome draft.
Charlie Kohler.
You got your best defensive player. You know, you got a Pro Bowl safety for a long time. You got a lot of guys that you're going to have to pay money to, Bob. Let's just say that.
Yeah, Kohler, Jordan Stout, your punter, and Isaiah Likely. So 2022, outside of Pepe and Tyler Batty. I mean, and Batty's what? He's in Denver, so he's in the National Football League.
You can't do better than that.
So the Ravens getting ready for cut-down day, and some, unfortunately, Vinny, as an executive, when you have to break the news, as harsh as it is, to players that in some cases the dream is over. I mean, others will wind up playing elsewhere, but you know, how difficult of a task is that?
Yeah, it's not pleasant because, you know, guys kind of, you know, they're on the fence, they don't know, and then you bring them in and then, you know, you let them go. But a lot of times, Bob, is especially nowadays. I mean, before, when I was in San, Bob, there was only five you could put on the practice squad. Five. Now it's 16. So a lot of these guys that you're cutting, listen, you clear waivers, we want you back on the practice squad. So it's not as tough a deal, because then you're basically a play away from being called. It's like AAA in baseball is what
sure,
it is.
No doubt.
You know, so you got 16 guys and some can be veterans and stuff. So yeah, you're a play away. You're not doing anything. The only thing that you do differently, Bob, is your paycheck's different if you're a practice squad guy compared to being up, because you're in the same meetings. Everything else is the exact same.
Yeah, and you're out there practicing, working with the team, and you know, you get to show up to the stadium and do some good things. But John Harbaugh met with the media yesterday. Training camp's over. Preseason is over. John Harbaugh, all things considered, how'd that go for you?
I think we did, Pete. You always want to get the most done as you possibly can. So, and what is that? What are we measuring that against? That's kind of hard to say what the amount of getting stuff done was. I feel good with the process in the sense that everybody was locked in. Everybody was fully committed. Everybody did the best they could in every circumstance. You know, we chased perfection as best we could. We're going to try to do the same throughout the course of the season. Like I told the guys, we're going to play Thursday night against the Chiefs. We've been pointed toward that the whole, you know, off season, of course, since the schedule came out. But after that game, we get in that locker room, we come back Friday from that game, there's going to be another game in front of us. It's going to be the Raiders.
Yep. And what's Harb's going to say after the game? You know, you got 12 hours or, you know, 24-hour rule. Whether you win or lose, you got 24 hours to celebrate or 24 hours, you know, to cry in your beer. So it's on to the next one, because it's just one of many. And if you lose in the first game, no. But let me just say this, Bob. Winning that first one on a Thursday night and you got the weekend off, be a lot of Ravens players at college games on Saturday.
Now, Emory Jones was released.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen Nathan Peterman released by Vegas. Bailey Zappi got zapped in New England. Could we possibly see Sudfeld, I believe, right? Didn't you say he's out as well? We get Josh Johnson's the backup quarterback, but do they need a third arm here as Leary is still, at least for now, part of the equation?
Bobby's got a big arm, and he turns the ball over a lot. That's one of coaches, you know, pet peeves, and it's one of hard. He threw a lot at the training camp and practices and stuff. I just don't see him being a guy that you say, okay, by having him here, he's going to be a lot better next year. I don't see it. I think they can find better on the waiver wire. We'll see, but I would think that they'll replace that on the practice squad.
And here's John Harbaugh talking about, which we just discussed with Vinny, and as you already know, everybody, the difficult decisions that come with making these roster cuts.
That's an ongoing process, so I think we continue on. It's not like all of a sudden we have to make cuts and we haven't been thinking about it. We've been thinking about it really every day. So we have a very good idea where we're at. There are moving parts. There's different rules and eligibilities and different things like that, different needs, injuries, things like that you take into account in order to set the roster and take advantage of trying to keep as many of the good players as you can, and because we have a lot of good players. So that's what we're trying to work out now, and we'll have that done by tomorrow.
Yeah, and, you know, they've got to cut some deals. Like Brett Urban, you know, he's a vested veteran, so they can cut him and have a handshake with him and then bring him back after the roster set in a few days. So I can see that definitely happen, because then you get a vested veteran type guy there. So there's going to be some things that they'll do. I'll be anxious to see who they put on IR, you know, the guys that they're going to put on IR and who's going to be out for four games, like we talked about with Keaton Mitchell. What's his and you know, so there's going to be, like, the bottom of the roster type thing, there'll be a lot of finagling going on, and that's what Eric's doing, and maybe he's trying to make some trades right now on, you know, a running back or something else.
It's Vinny and Hanny, 105.7 The Fan, news from the Nest here on this Turn It Up Tuesday, as cut down day is happening at 4:00. Transactions are going on, and we'll share them with you, obviously, as it relates to the Ravens. But something we talked about a couple segments ago, the new kickoff rules. John Harbaugh, how do the new rules impact the way that you're going to put your roster together?
We do have a plan for that. I think it's still going to, you know, remain to be seen, because it's still in experimental stages right now. But we kind of got some clues as far as what type of body types we want in different spots, and bigger, smaller, faster, all those kind of things, hopefully. And we'll just see how it plays out.
Yeah. I like Harb said, I still think they're trying to learn it, because it's going to be different in the regular season than it is now. And I'm sure big speed is better than small speed if you're blocking or trying to cover on kickoff teams, you know, because they had a lot of DBs, linebackers out there. And I don't know, maybe they're going to put some big, if they have bigger, more athletic linemen, maybe you put some of those on kickoff return team to be able to block, because those other guys, they get through that wedge in a hurry.
And real quick, as we wrap up news from the Nest, we got NFL lunch coming up at 1:00. Plenty of football left to talk about. Kevin Ostreicher, bottom of the hour from USA Today. We mentioned Keaton Mitchell. He's going to start on IR.
Mm-hmm.
Owen Wright, foot injury, Lambeau Field this past Saturday. John Harbaugh was asked yesterday if the Ravens are going to look to explore options outside of the Ravens organization for a running back.
I like the guys in-house.
Uh-huh.
We'll be open to anything. I mean, if the right player becomes available, I'm quite sure Eric will be looking at him. But, you know, people aren't in the habit of getting rid of really great players right before the season starts.
Well, the thing about it is you've got to – the guy you're going after is somebody that you guys really like, that maybe you had rated high and got cut. Or he's just better than what you have. But, I mean, that was like typical Harbs, right? Because he starts out with a positive and then he tells you the truth. You know, we like our guys, but if there's somebody
we're
out there,
for everything.
Right.
Yeah, Tony Dorsett's not going to be available anytime soon. When we come back, let's count some dough. Hopefully, turn it up Tuesday style with buy or sell. We'll talk about the sports subjects of the day. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens wire project a 53-man roster with him as the Ravens open their regular season in 9 days against the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs. NFL lunch at 1. We got American League East report at 1:15. Yankees win again last night, 2 up on the Orioles. And we'll talk about the Dodgers, best record in baseball. Bill Plunkett, Orange County Register, talks about, all right, they've had the best record in baseball many times. Nice. If they're one and done in the playoffs, when's that heat get a little hotter for Dave Roberts?
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Roberts there.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Penny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
It's a lovely Tuesday in Baltimore, Maryland. Orioles are in L.A. Chavez Ravine, to be exact, taking on the Dodgers. 10-10, start of a three-game series. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts at 6. Tim Barbalace and Ryan Ripken getting you ready for that one. Orioles sit 2 games behind the Yankees in the American League East. We'll talk more about that around 1:15 with the AL East report and talk about the Dodgers with Bill Plunkett. We're talking Ravens. Kevin Allstriker at 12:30. Let's talk some money, hopefully, right now. Buy or sell.
Market's pretty flat. The Dow's down 60. The S&P's up 3. The NASDAQ is up 6. DraftKings up 0.25. Under Armour's down 11 cents.
As far as our sports topics, we're going to start in Major League Baseball. The Mariners moved on from their longtime manager, Scott Servais, last week. Somewhat surprising firing. Not surprising after they blew their massive, 10-game advantage lead over the Astros. Now they trail them by at least 5. A huge collapse. But at the same time, a little surprising considering his tenure with the team. He was there 8 or 9 years, and the fact that the season is still a month from being over. Dan Wilson's going to step in as the interim manager, perhaps a jolt in the arm for a reeling team. Go back a couple years, the Phillies fired Joe Girardi, replaced him with Rob Thompson during the 2022 season. As we know, they ended up making a run to the World Series that year. Buy or sell, Bob, the Servais firing will be the wake-up call for Seattle and make them more competitive in the final month.
Servais, they've won 2 in a row. I'll half buy it, soft buy, whatever it is. It would help if Randy Arozarena would like bring his bat to the equation like he did last night. They've got the pitching to compete. Nolan will get into the standings more in depth in about an hour or so, but they're 3.5 out behind the Astros right now, who lost last night. But yes, I'll soft buy the Dan Wilson. Hey, look, he played with Grippy and Buehner, Edgar Martinez and Randy Johnson. He was on those teams in the 90s that were really good. The Orioles beat him, if you remember, in 97. But yeah, he'll jolt him. How about these catchers keep getting these jobs? As Mike Bordick says, what about our shortstops? Where's the love?
Move over to the NFL. Juju Smith-Schuster, when he got released by the Patriots, it felt like it was only a matter of time before he landed somewhere else ahead of the regular season. That somewhere else is a reunion with the Chiefs. They brought him back after he spent the 2022 season with them, won a Super Bowl with them. In that campaign, he was healthy enough to play for 16 games, racking up 933 yards in the process, only 3 touchdowns. And now we do know that he has something to prove this year. Last year was very lackluster. The injuries, they took a toll during his one season in New England. But Vinny, buy or sell, Smith-Schuster will outdo his stats from his last stint with Kansas City.
I'll sell that. I think they have much better weapons now. Marquise will be back too. And Rice is there. Worthy. So, no, I don't think. I think he has a real good rapport with Mahomes. But I don't think he'll get the numbers that he had. But he'll fill the role.
A little NBA here. It's been almost 2 years since the Nets abruptly fired Steve Nash early in that season. He hasn't really done much public speaking about the firing since then. However, last week during a farewell game for Goran Dragic in Slovenia, he did actually choose that as his opportunity to finally open up about his time in Brooklyn. He was honest about the challenges that he faced being a first-time head coach. Says that right now he's only committed to coaching his kids, but just last summer he did interview for the vacant Raptors job. Buy or sell, Bob, we haven't seen the last of Steve Nash as an NBA coach.
I'm selling that because that did not go well. He was getting mimicked and mocked by his own team. Kyrie Irving allegedly said one of those MVP trophies of yours should have been Kobe Bryant in his own house. I would have thrown him right out of my house, by the way, for saying that. If memory serves, I thought that was a kind of a bold move by the Nets at the time. So with that, those egos that they had assembled, and then have a guy with no coaching experience to come in and try to navigate. If I'm Steve Nash, you're one of the 75 best players in the history of the league. You're a Hall of Famer. You made a ton of dough. Yep. Why even deal with the headache, man? Get out of here.
Going back to the NFL here, Jerry Jones, well, he's been getting roasted a lot this summer. We roasted him yesterday on the show about his comments that he's been making about the construction of the Cowboys. Well, yesterday's deal for CeeDee Lamb, that was a victory for him. But I did find his quotes about Trey Lance pretty interesting, coming off of their final preseason game. A very rough showing for Lance in that game. He threw 5 interceptions. And Jones was reminded of his move to trade a 4th-round pick for Lance in the first place, stood by the decision, seemed to suggest that they would rather take the backup quarterback over the chance of hitting on another player with that 4th-round pick. But Vinny, buy or sell, there's no other way to slice it. The trade for Lance was an overpay.
Oh, I definitely overpay, because they're the only ones that offered a 4th-round pick. Nobody was even close. But I'll say this, Trey Lance, he threw for 324, rushed for 90, but he did throw five interceptions. And I guess the word is that he has trouble seeing the field.
That's bad for a quarterback, correct?
unless you just give him a little piece of the field to watch.
All right, we'll close with this here, also in the NFL. CBS sports writer Josh Edwards, he has some preseason predictions for the 2024 all-rookie team. Not a lot of surprises throughout, but at cornerback, he's identified 3 names: Teron Arnold with Detroit, Kamari Lassiter with Houston, and Quinyon Mitchell in Philly. No mention of Nate Wiggins here, despite a lot of draft day praise for the Ravens selection. An impressive preseason showing for Wiggins as well. Perhaps play time will be a big factor here, but Bob, buy or sell, Wiggins will end up being on the all-rookie team at the end of the year.
I'll buy it. Speed's going to play. They've got a lot of tough receivers and quarterbacks to face, and that's going to be an asset for him. Will he have problems, Vinny, I guess, tackling double, from time to time?
Yeah, and double move. He'll get caught every now and then on a double move.
But he got to catch up speed to maybe make amends for that. I think the Ravens considered him a steal at 30. Hey, TJ Tampa. Oh, by the way, how's he been looking in the return to health?
He's a little raw, but, Bob, the thing about it is he just needs to get in football shape because he's instinctive, he's super smart, he's big, he's physical. Just doesn't have the deep speed. But before it's all said and done, he's going to be a big help.
Yeah, Nate Wiggins, I'll buy it. He will make the all-rookie team. At least I hope he does. Here in 2024, when we come back, more Ravens talk. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens Wire, Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw, since we couldn't get to it last hour. More football coming your way. We'll talk about CeeDee Lamb getting paid. Some players looking for new homes as it's cut down day in the National Football League. A little NFL lunch and your American League East report. Yankees win last night over the Nats. And I guess technically Toronto won 2 at Boston. From USA Today, the Ravens Wire joins us every Tuesday. He is Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, good afternoon. What is happening?
Good afternoon, guys. Yeah, and also with the 53, man, it's not that the Ravens will release it right at 4 when the cuts are due to the league office. They might take some time to announce it, like last year, where they wait for almost 4 hours last year to get that out to everybody.
Now, we talked about this earlier as Nolan McGraw brought it up, as the Ravens are making these roster moves. It looks like Kadir Ismail is going to be released Missile's son, who had a nice camp. But the new kickoff rules, and how does that maybe play into what John Harbaugh is trying to do? Because we've always assumed that Deontay Hardy, Baltimore kid, is going to be the kick returner. Is that a fair assumption, or are things still on the table there?
I mean, it's a fair assumption when he was signed, most definitely, that, yeah, they brought him in to be the primary kick returner. That's going to be his role, minimal role on offense, obviously, with that. But then you have other guys like Dayton Wade, who stepped up throughout training camp in the preseason, and they're kind of thinking, well, okay, do they keep seven wide receivers? I've always been on the train that five is a little too little, seven is a little too many, so six is kind of the sweet spot for me. I think Tyler Wallace did enough to make the roster. So it almost turns into, well, if you're keeping six, it's going to have to be Deontay Hardy as the kick returner, because he is going to count on that wide receiver number. Or is it Dayton Wade, who did enough? Now, I think with those back end spots, and depending on position, obviously, it kind of varies. But you do want to have some level of special teams value. But a guy like Dayton Wade, you have to wonder, is that a guy that passes through waivers or not? I'm not so sure. You kind of have to almost hope it's an Ardarius Washington situation, where they cut him a couple years ago and everybody said there's no way he passes through waivers, and he did, and he's on the practice squad that year, and obviously is set to play a role with Arthur Millett down for however long he's out for. So I'm not ruling anything out with Deontay Hardy. I have him on my roster personally. I think that they want to use him in that role. That's what they signed him for, and even though he missed a good chunk of camp, that's where they view him. But if they were to make that move, it would probably be one of the surprise moves, but I could see it happen.
Kevin, I don't expect other teams, like when you think of the Ravens, you don't think of, great receiver depth. So I think a lot of their guys get through. Defensively, anybody they cut, they could possibly lose, I think. Now, what do you think about Leary? I think there's no chance he's even on the practice squad. I think they go get somebody from outside.
Yeah, I don't have him on my roster. I honestly, at this point, pretty surprised if he made it. I thought that after Joe Milton went in the draft, there were no other draftable quarterbacks, and I would have just signed somebody undrafted free agency. They did invest the sixth rounder in Leary, but didn't necessarily really show anything. And at this point, especially with the third quarterback rule now revoked, it's almost you keep three quarterbacks on your roster, but then if you keep Leary, it takes away a roster spot. And you mentioned defensively, I 100% agree. It takes away a roster spot from an outside linebacker or a cornerback, a safety. So to me, I think that honestly, if you wanted to throw Emory Jones on that practice squad instead, or if Leary doesn't even make it through waivers, I don't know if he would or not. I would.
Leary? He would make it through every waiver.
I would say he does. Yeah, I would say he does.
Canadian League waivers, too.
Yeah, right.
You're throwing him out of the country.
Yeah, there you go. I think to me, though, I'm looking in Cleveland. I think Cleveland is that interesting quarterback spot because they announced that DTR, I believe, is making the roster. So Tyler Huntley, old friend, could potentially be traded. Apparently, they're going to take calls on Jameis Winston as well. So is that a place where you could potentially look at? And there'll be a couple of other teams who release a third quarterback, and that guy can probably make Baltimore's practice squad. But look, if Lamar goes down for any amount of time and Josh Johnson is your guy, do you feel confident in Devin Leary backing him up? I mean, my answer is no. So I'll go out there and try to see if anybody else is available.
Yeah, he turns the ball over way too much. Now, when we look at running backs, Kevin, see, I think the same thing at running back. I think they go out and they find one. I don't see a guy on the roster that I say, yep, that's my third running back. I don't see it.
I don't either. I think, honestly, I have John Kelly making it right now, but that's as a temporary placeholder. But I think that they could honestly just have the 53-man have two guys and they go out there and sign a third one, because we've already heard of a couple of names that are being released, such as Samaje Perine from Denver, who could be a nice third down option for them as that third running back, or, Bam Knight from Detroit, Matt Breida from San Francisco, or there are going to be others as well. Mm-hmm. I know that Chicago's having a battle. Travis Homer could be an option. So I think that they dash Rasheen Ali or just cut them all together. I think that they put Owen Wright on IR as well. And the fifth round has not been kind to Eric DaCosta over the course of his general managing career. And I know we've had the Ben Mason situation, Sean Wade, we've talked about that, but yeah, I think the running back right now, you have to wait until Keaton comes back. And once that happens, it has to be, it's a very specific mold, because it's a guy that, you know, can have a somewhat role early, but then once Keaton comes back, I mean, that's a guy who's not on the roster anymore or is a game day inactive probably most weeks. So I think the P-Ryan fits that pretty well, but we'll see who else is released. But I agree with you where I think that nobody like a John Kelly or a Chris Collier, nobody on the roster is going to be that third running back. I think they bring in somebody from the outside.
Now, Kevin, also what I anticipate is, how many tight ends did you have them keep?
I had three.
See, I think I would keep four. And, you know, if I only have to take five receivers, fine. If I can find a blocking tight end, that if I could find a blocking tight end that I like that is a stud blocker, I'm going to add that.
I could see it. I also think that with Patrick Ricard, too, that gives you just another versatile option. Not that he is, you know, a pure tight end. He can do stuff a tight end can do a little bit. But I think, to me, you know, if you go out there, find that Nick Boyle in free agency. It's just a matter of, do they have enough everywhere else, and are they able to fit everybody they want and get the positions in that they need? For example, if they want an extra offensive lineman, is Matt Sharping from Philly going to be that guy? And if they do that, would they have enough room to bring in a fourth tight end? So if they don't do that, I like what Ricard brings them in a role where you can put him in line a little bit as well. You can put him at fullback, obviously, do what you want with him. But I know with Kadir, they're going to want him back on the practice squad, it looks like, after they released him. So maybe he's a game day call. I know he's not a blocking tight end or anything. I know that's different from your mold. But I could see them potentially making some level of a move or just calling up a guy, or maybe putting that blocking tight end on the practice squad and having him getting called up as well if they want the extra roster space.
Now, do you see Eric making any trades before 4 o'clock? And the reason I say that is because on the waiver wire, they're picking 30th. They claim 30th. So the chances of them getting a guy through that they like from another team or anything, maybe they're going to have to do a 7-if or something to get that guy.
Yeah, and that's what we've seen over the last couple of days with some of these guys who are going to get cut. Teams are looking for any sort of value, and so they're kind of calling around and saying, hey, would you give us a conditional 6, conditional 7 to get some level of value back? I could see it. I know a lot of people are talking about Tim Patrick from Denver, who did play in Baltimore once upon a time. But wide receiver-wise, it's interesting there, and I know we talked about it with Deontay Hardy and Dayton Wade and everybody. I could maybe see them, if there's a running back that they like, we just talked about that, and there are a couple of teams competing for it. The thing that I look at here is the Ravens are getting 4 comp picks this offseason regardless, because they lost so many guys at the value points, and they only really signed Derrick Henry, so that's the one offsetting move. So if you want to be a little more aggressive with your picks, if you're Eric DaCosta, you know that you're getting some back anyway, so you can balance out trying to win this year and the future, which he does well anyway. But, you know, the Ravens, I don't know how many projected picks it is this season off the top of my head, but with 4 comp picks coming back, it's probably going to be in at least double digits, if not just 9. So if you move off of a late round pick and you know you're getting something else back, I think that to me is a solid formula, just because you're able to get, you know, you're able to play both sides where it's like, okay, you can trade a pick for a guy that can help you win now, but if it doesn't work out, whatever, whatever. You also have those other picks coming in that you can use for the future, which we all know the Ravens need with all their big contracts.
Hey, Kevin, on defense, did you go 10 linebackers, 11 DBs, and 5 D linemen?
I went 4 D linemen with Urban being a handshake deal. I had, let me do the quick math.
So
I had,
basically, I had with the 53, it'll be 5.
Yes, exactly. So 5 with Urban as the handshake guy. I went 12, and I went heavy secondary. I went 12 in the secondary. I went 6 corners, 6 safety. 6 safety is a lot.
So you kept Bo Braid?
I kept Braid and Sanusi Kane, and then I had Pepe off. I know he's already cut, but I had him off, and I had been keeping Bump Cooper as their 6th guy and putting Arthur Millett on designated to return injured reserve.
Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today, the Ravens Wire, cut down day. Today, deadline is 4 o'clock for people, Kevin, and I can't believe they would be but unfamiliar with the Ravens Wire. What's happening today?
Yeah, we're keeping up with the cuts, so we're diving into everybody who ends up getting released. If the Ravens do make a move, we'll be on that as well. We'll put out the final roster once it's released, hopefully not 4 hours after 4 like last year. But, yeah, just keeping up with the cuts and seeing what happens, because I know that once the roster is out, it's out, but I don't think it's the final roster we're going to see come week 1.
Kevin, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk next Tuesday.
Always appreciate you guys. Thanks so much. Talk then.
Thanks, Kevin.
Kevin Allstriker. Next Tuesday, we'll be getting his prediction for the Ravens-Chiefs game.
Ooh,
how about that? Nine days away from kickoff regular season, September 5th in Kansas City. Orioles are so fired up, they're going to play the Chiefs and the Rockies on the same day. We'll come back. We're going to go to the Funhouse. Nolan McGraw, NFL lunch at 1 o'clock. American League East Report 115. What happened in the division last night? Boston looks like they're in a little bit of trouble. And Bill Plunkett talks about the Dodgers. Orioles and Dodgers, very similar in a lot of statistical categories. On offense, pitching-wise, not so much.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness, Tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
This texter here says people need to stop drinking the orange Kool-Aid.
What?
I love the Orioles as much as the next person. However, this team is not going to make the playoffs unless someone buys them a ticket.
Well, I think they're in a pretty good spot right now to get to the postseason. Now, whether they last long there, that's an argument I think is fair to get into and a discussion we can have. But there's still, 5 weeks left, basically, in the regular season. But they got to start stacking some wins. They haven't had an extended winning streak of, three in a row in quite some time. So they got to start putting some W's on the board. But if they don't make the playoffs, then they're collapsing. Because, for instance, the Orioles are 8.5 ahead of Boston, who's right now on the outside looking in. Yeah. For the most part, the six American League playoff teams are kind of there.
Yeah.
Unless Seattle makes a run or the Red Sox, somebody like that.
Well, the Ravens. The Orioles will
get in, too.
The Orioles will get a boost, Norm. I think if they get Rodriguez, Eflin, and Westberg back, I think they'll get kind of a nice little boost then.
Well, Rodriguez and Eflin could be back this weekend.
Right.
But Grayson, I'm assuming, is going to have to rehab it up a little bit. And the last time we saw Jordan Westberg, he still had a cast on his hand. Yeah. So.
Right,
we shall see.
Eflin seems like the only one that's a guarantee to be back.
Yeah, Coulomb maybe, and that would be a nice boost to the bullpen.
You're 8.5 up, like you said. You'd have to play 300 baseball, a win percentage around 30% fall out, maybe less than that.
Let's worry about tonight.
All righty, let's see. I got another texter here that says, major concerns for the Ravens' O-line at this point. Even if they were at full strength with a stud O-line, they'd be in for a tough matchup against the defending champs on the road. At this point, I have no idea what kind of performance we're going to see a week from now. They could look horrible with Lamar getting sacked 7 to 8 times.
the problem they had last year against him was running the football. And that's, to me, kind of right now, the offensive line's weakness is the run game stuff, because they're not physical, nasty dudes yet. They don't knock people off the ball, and they don't get a lot of movement. So that's my biggest concern. My biggest concern is when Henry's lined up deep and he gets a ball and he's come down with a head of steam, he's got to stop because there's no hole and then get going again. That's my biggest concern.
Are we allowed to drink purple Kool-Aid, or are we just off the Kool-Aid for now?
You can drink whatever you want.
Oh, thank you.
Purple Kool-Aid, though, that's got the negative connotations. That was the cult
purple Kool-Aid, Jim right? Jones?
It was purple, right?
I'm not sure.
I kind of like purple Kool-Aid. Well, I like purple Gatorade.
So did he.
As he mass murdered the hundreds of people.
This one here, texter says, has Bo Braid shown enough to make the Ravens practice squad? Loved what he showed in the last two preseason games. Definitely looks like he belongs.
Well, I think he got better each game and he got more reps. He played a lot. He started the Green Bay game at safety ahead of Kane. So, and he was very active, making plays in the backfield. He's got great instincts. I think if he doesn't make the Ravens 53, I think somebody else will pick him up. And at worst, he'll be on a Ravens practice squad.
So you don't even think he could even accomplish that because somebody will snatch him out of their hands?
I think he's shown enough, and people need safeties that can play inside and go up. Now, pass coverage-wise, he's kind of a liability. But in the run stuff and up close, he's very good.
Well, former Terp, of course. And speaking of the Terps, this texter here says, 1 week at a time from Maryland. I expect them to handle their business early on and into some of those initial Big Ten matchups. Just can't get embarrassed when that first true test rolls around.
Well, they started 5-0 last year.
Mm-hmm.
And were 6-5 at one point. And won their last two bowl game and then against Rutgers to wrap up the regular season. I'm not drinking the red Kool-Aid. How's that sound? Even though it's my favorite Kool-Aid. Cherry Kool-Aid, it's delicious. But I'm not going there yet. They're 20-point favorites over the Huskies. Noon kickoff at CQ Stadium. By the way, getting back to the Ravens, Kansas City is -3, according to ESPN Bet.
So it's basically even.
It was 2.5. Oh, but yes, they're getting home field advantage. Yeah. 3 points there. Over under 46.5. I guess a nice low first game kind of spread
there. I think it'll be low scoring.
It's 5880-1057 The Fan. We'll talk more football when we come back. NFL lunch. We're going to feed it to you whether you want it or not. Then the American League East report. Talk about what happened in the division last night and beyond. Updated standings look both in the divisions throughout baseball and the wild card updates there. And we'll talk Dodgers. Bill Plunkett covers them for the Orange County Register. They've had a ton regular season success. And yes, they did win the World Series during the COVID year, but what about getting beyond the first round this season in an interesting National League?
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.